This is Issues 2025. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is County Manager Tom Stoles. Welcome to Issues 2025, Tom.
Thanks, Steve.
Good to have you. It's that time of the year. The county's budget for next year is going to be approved soon, and we'll be talking about that mostly today here on our show. Your time is accumulating at Sedgwick County. How long have you been county manager now?
Going on 7 years.
7 years?
Yeah.
And some folks may not realize that this is your second career, right?
Right. I was with Wichita Police Department for 31 years before coming to the county.
Hey, let's talk about that for just a minute. How did that come about? Did you go ahead and retire from PD?
I did. In 2012, I retired from Wichita PD, and I took over the merged Department of Building and Construction Codes, Metropolitan Area Building and Construction. That's how I got into county government. And then just through time and change, went over to public safety in Sedgwick County, and then you stay around long enough, they make you manager.
So. Okay. At this point, let's talk about the budget. At this point, What is the spending plan for next year? How much? Let's try to see if we can get to the bottom line.
Sure. We'll go to the bottom line is our budget for 2026 in Sedgwick County is $624,738,250. Now, that includes the fire district. Sedgwick County has its own taxing entity for fire district services. So of that $624 million, $31 million of that is fire. So that leaves a general budget of $593 million for the county.
$593, you count that as the budget then?
That's correct.
Okay, $593.
Yeah.
I'll write that down here real quick. Now, how does that compare with this year?
We're up... Our budget last year total was just a little bit south of $600 million total. This part of the budget was probably closer to $560 last year. So it's up about $30 million. And remember, when we talk about county budget, that's not just all property taxes. That's property tax, sales tax, other taxing entities, grants and funds coming in from the state. Because in county government, we are the conduit of the state of Kansas for services, so that includes a lot of different kinds of monies coming in.
And how many departments do you oversee?
We have 48 departments in the county now.
Okay. any changes in the tax levy then? What are you looking at there?
Well, we crafted the recommended budget. Let me preface. So today is July 11th. We crafted and put the recommended budget forward to the commission 2 days ago on Wednesday. So they have received and filed that. This recommended budget is recommending a mill levy reduction of about 0.6. And we're on the valuation capture. The value of homes in Sedgwick County went up an average of 8.7%. This year, and this budget recommends capturing 5.5% of that valuation. So we're not taking all the valuation that we could in order that we could relieve put the mill levy down, relieve tax burden on citizens the best we could.
You know, and another thing that I'd like to point out or let you point out is the fact that when people get their statements in the mail for their county or their property taxes, you're just one of three, right?
Well, we're one of a bunch.
We're one of the big three.
Okay. The big three are the school district, wherever you live, whatever school district you're paying into is the biggest tax hit on property taxes. Then a municipality if you live in a city, then Sedgwick County. And if you don't live in a city, if you're unincorporated county, then it's the township. So those are the biggest taxing levies.
So it's not just Sedgwick County.
No, we're basically about 25% of your tax bill.
Now, so explain to me, if you would, a little bit about the tax, the fire districts. I don't understand that.
So if you live in an unincorporated county or if you live in a Class 2 and 3 city, for example, Goddard, Andale, those citizens that live in that community for fire protection can opt into the Sedgwick County Fire District, and that is a 17-mill tax levy. For fire protection services. So Hayesville, for example, is in a fire district. Andale's in a fire district. The city of Mays is in the fire district. And then all of the unincorporated citizens can opt into the fire district. So that is a taxing entity of its own. The Board of County Commissioners is also the fire board. So they monitor and maintain and fund that. So we have a pretty one of the three professional fire departments in Sedgwick County is – the Sedgwick County Fire Department. Of course, Wichita Fire is the biggest. Derby Fire also has a professional fire department. And then everyone else has a hybrid of either volunteer or somewhat professional, somewhat volunteer. But there's only three bona fide professional fire departments in the county, so, and Sedgwick County is one of them.
How does a volunteer fire department work? In other words, the volunteer fireman, fire person, are they just like on call all the time, or
yeah.
They have another job or something, right?
But yeah, these are men and women who volunteer their time and they have some experience. That maybe they're an EMT or they have some firefighting experience. We have a lot of firefighters that volunteer for small towns, so they have some firefighting experience. But yeah, they are on call. Basically, and sometimes they're working other jobs, or they're not sitting at a fire station waiting to respond to a call, and then they just go in and do the best they can.
Okay. Now, as you pointed out, most of the county's programs are actually state programs. Is this Kansas legislature helping the county then with expenses?
Well, yes, a lot of our funding comes directly from state of Kansas. Now, the argument every year is, as we are providing services, that we want to make sure that the state funds the services that they want provided, obviously as fully as they can, because it relieves the local taxpayer from having to pay for what essentially is a state service. And that's an ongoing discussion every year we have between county and state, and it's counties plural, so all the counties live under the same kind of rule. The 105 counties in the state of Kansas have some subsidiary coming in from the state. And there's an argument about whether they're paying enough to provide the services and pay the wages that we have to pay to get people to do these jobs. And it's an ongoing discussion. But we overall, we have a pretty good relationship with our state of Kansas government.
Has the county commission received much input from citizens this time around?
We do. We start the budget process. Internally, we started around Christmas time the year before. And then we involve the commission and citizens in earnest starting in about February. So we had a retreat with the commission in the middle of February this year. And from that point forward, we're in constant engagement with citizens. This year, we rolled out a new program where citizens could get online and actually do a budget simulator to play with a budget, to look at what our deficits were and what they would like to see increased, what they'd like to see decreased. So we look at that very, very carefully. Now that the recommended budget is in, we will have a public hearing on July 30th. At 6 p.m. at night, where citizens can come before the commission and talk about what they like or don't like about the budget. And then we'll have a second public hearing on the day of adoption, which is August the 20th. So, and in between that time, there is an online comment section that citizens can get on and get their voices heard. And I've got a number of engagements, as do commissioners, where we get out into the public and we talk about it. Starting with this show, for example, we'll talk about budget and people can hear what we're spending money on and can easily get a hold of their commissioner or me and let us know what they think.
In this process, what are taxpayers most concerned about, Tom?
I think most taxpayers look at, well, first of all, we have this discussion every year, the role of government. What should we be in? What should we be out of? I think most taxpayers are concerned about safety and public safety and roads, you know, what we call the mission critical operations of government in general, city or county or state. They care about fire and police. They care about roads. They care about water, all of these kinds of things. And that's as it should be, right? Those are core missions of government. There's no other entity in society that can provide those types of services. So the government steps up and does that particular function. And I think that's what we hear a lot of this year is safety. And we hear a lot about violence, what's going on with crime, and those types of issues. And then we have a huge national event going on where we had a major flood, it's a terrible, tragic event where a number of people have been killed or lost or missing. And then you look at government role in that kind of situation on stormwater maintenance and how that's operated and the response and how we go about handling those duties. I think that's what's on people's mind this year.
So what's the biggest item in the county's proposed budget for next year?
I think the paradigm for this budget, when I spoke to the commission on Wednesday, we are looking at our 911 system, where it all starts, right? Where everything starts with public safety is in the 911 dispatch. It doesn't start with police. It doesn't start with sheriff or fire. It starts with that 911 call. So we are taking out a real look at our 911 dispatch center. Every year I'm very cognitive of how we grow government because we want to grow government the least we can and keep government out of people's lives as best we can. But this year, the part of government that is growing, at least in this recommended budget, what we're pushing forward is we want to add 20 911 positions. And the goal there, I don't know if you've ever been to dispatch, Steve, but it's an interesting situation. They're sitting at consoles, kind of like what we're sitting at right now. And they're answering telephone calls and dispatching at the same time. So they've got a citizen in one ear and a police or sheriff or fire official in another ear. And they're trying to multitask. We call it didactic listening, where they're literally hearing two conversations at the same time and trying to do their job. Our goal at the start of this budget over the next couple of years is to clean that up and separate call takers, in other words, those who are receiving the calls from us as citizens, away from the dispatchers whose main role it will be to get the proper resources out to the site. So this is a big shift for Sedgwick County. So that's the biggest thing in this budget this year is our 911 operations, and that's the only part of the government we feel like we're growing right now is that 911 call response.
You're listening to Issues 2025 on the Odyssey Radio Stations. Our guest is Sedgwick County Manager Tom Stoles. And Ty, I'd like to take advantage of a little bit of your experience in law enforcement and in government. What are your thoughts on that tragedy in Texas? The flooding, I mean, the rain, I look at it and say, this is probably a once in four centuries occurrence. It probably won't happen again. But, you know, they're talking about what can we do? What can we do?
Yeah, we think about weather in general and natural disasters and emergency. We plan for it as best we can. So in the Texas issue, I look at that from two angles. First of all, the preventative, proactive planning and maintenance has to be considered. So, and we look at Sedgwick County. We have all these streams and rivers and all this kind of waterway running through our county. Are we doing a good job on the front end to make sure that they are clear, that they flow properly, even in events of outstanding rain or abnormal rain? Or is everything on the front end of this prepared structurally and from an engineering perspective to make sure we can handle it? So that's number one. Number two, after the event starts to happen, what kind of response are we ready to provide to a community? What kind of boots on the ground response can we have? And are we doing as best as we can? So when the inevitable happens, we are ready. And that requires planning and practice and scenario training. And so those are we look at this very carefully in Sedgwick County, and I'm sure they did in Texas as well, to make sure that we're prepared both on the front end, so to mitigate the flood or the disaster from happening, and then if it does happen, how do we respond and how quickly can we get in and do search and rescue?
All right. Is the county facing challenges in hiring and retaining employees?
You know, we're doing better. During COVID, it was very interesting phenomena because so much of what we do, I always tell new employees coming into the county, no matter where they're going to work, they are now in the service of people. That's just what we do. And I'll tell you, in today's world, service of people is a challenge. So during COVID, when tensions were high and we had all this unknown happening, we lost a lot of staff in all of our, especially some of our public safety areas, but even in ComCare and mental health, public health, we were losing employees to where we got down to a 60 or 70% staffing level, and that's very tough. It's hard on the incumbent employees because they have to work more overtime and they're stretched very thin. So the commission, thankfully, over the last two or three years, we've taken a really hard look at compensation and benefits, try to create an environment where employees are being compensated for the level of work we are asking them to perform, which is very challenging. And so we've raised salaries a lot in the last two or three years, and our staffing today is plus 90%. So including the sheriff, EMS, 911, that's why we're finally able to look at expansion of 911 is because we actually have 100% staffing in 911 today. So we're doing better. It's a tight workforce out there. We have to continue, even in this particular budget, we're recommending compensation wage increases. that are, you know, we think is market competitive as we try to hang on to our value of employees that can provide the services to the people.
This may not be part of what we're talking about right now, but I wanted to get an update on administrative offices. How are you doing on that?
On what?
On moving your administrative offices.
Well, that's in queue. We have a couple of options there we're looking at. We are looking at the Envision building, which is just north of the courthouse at 525 North Main. And actually, it's just south of our public safety building, which is at 714 North Main. So we're looking at that building. We're giving it due diligence to make sure that it's cost effective to move into for the taxpayer. We've got a new build option that we still have on the table. So that's being looked at. I think the commission will, we're in July already. I'm hoping sometime in before quarter three of this year that the commission will make a decision on which track we're going to go down. So it's still on the table, but we have not reached a final decision.
Talk about capital improvement. What is capital improvement and how much you're going to spend on that?
Capital improvement generally in government is infrastructure or the kinds of costs that are non-operational in nature. So in other words, it's not day-to-day operations. When you think of capital improvement, you generally think of buildings or large-scale pieces of equipment like public works kinds of vehicles that are high-dollar in nature. So in our budget, in the county budget, there's two main pieces of capital improvement. One is roads and bridges, so structure, and we have about $24 million dedicated to that, which is about normal for the county. We run 600 miles of roads and several hundred bridges. And then it's the buildings, and the county owns a lot of buildings when you think about it. We own fire stations and EMS posts, a public health building, a ComCare building, a juvenile crisis center, an adult corrections facility, a jail, on and on. So we own a lot of buildings and property. And when you own buildings, just like when you own your home or a business, there's roofs and driveways and HVAC systems and all kinds of structural systems that keep those buildings viable. And we have about $10 million in the budget for 2026 to pay for building upkeep, maintenance to make sure, and these are taxpayer assets, right? We've all, as taxpayers, paid for these buildings over the years, so it's our obligation, our responsibility to make sure that those assets are well kept and viable. So it's significant.
Do you anticipate any changes in the budget before that final approval?
There always is. The commission now, I always call this the 98%. Finished budget. And the commission has been very engaged in this budget process since February. So it's not like I hit them cold with it in July. They've seen this. They've been involved in discussions. They heard from each of the 48 departments. We had budget hearings, which were recorded and online and available for the public to see. So they've heard from all of these departments. So they're engaged. But they always come in at the end, and the burden is on the people to make any final changes to the budget. So there'll be some tweaking. I would be shocked if there's not. And that's fine. And that's the commission's responsibility. And we'll roll with whatever they end up deciding to do.
As the year begins to wind down, I guess I'm ahead of myself. I'm thinking we're in November, I guess. But what do you see as Sedgwick County's most important achievements over the past few months?
Well, I think that the county does a really good job as far as a county government of paying attention and advocating for taxpayers. Many times in governments around the country, we try to get a job done, and we don't try for the B minus level job. We try for an A plus kind of job out here. We want to provide the best services, but I think we're very cognizant in the county of making sure that we stay within role of government, that we're doing services, mission critical services for people that they want and that they're willing to pay for. And we try to, I give credit to this commission for 3 years in a row now, we will have lowered mill levy down. Find me any other government in the state of Kansas over the last 3 years that has lowered mill levy down in their particular budget, and I don't think you'll find them. So the county, I think, does a really good job of trying to stay lean. We talk about it a lot. We try to make sure that we don't grow government, that we keep government at a rate that's acceptable to the people, but people are different. You know, you have people that They want more services and they're willing to pay for it. And you have some people that are they're trying to stay in their homes basically because of property tax and insurance rates that are escalating. So we're cognizant of that. So I'm proud of the county for talking about that every year. And I'm proud of the county that we actually tangibly take action to reduce mill levy and not capture all valuations, which we could. And it's not the right thing to do, so we don't.
And is there anything in your mind that you could have done better? I want to say it.
Oh, yeah,
here's how we screwed up.
Yeah, now you can always do better, right? I think that I think we try to do the best we can with what we have. We provide services which are very widely. I mean, when you have any time you're dealing with public and you're in a service industry, people's demands change. And they're very demanding on the kinds of service production that you get. But you can always do better. We'll always make some mistakes because at the end of the day, we're human. But the goal is in government or any business, just make the mistake once, learn from it, own it, admit it, and then try to do better and not repeat the mistake. So I'm proud of the way we're operating. I think we can always do better. I think there's some things that going forward that we have to do a better job as governments, and I say that plurally, cities, the county. I think there's things we can do together and be more efficient. I think we've got to get out of this siloed approach of budgeting and government, and we have to share resources better. You know, I was adding up the other day between the school district, City of Wichita, and Sedgwick County, we're well north of $2 billion of taxation on our citizens every year. And I think that behooves us as government officials, and I think it challenges our elected officials to do more together to provide services for people in unison instead of all having our own separate silos, because I don't think we can afford to do that forever. So,
what does the future hold for Sedgwick County over the next year or two?
Well, I think the challenge in the county government is we are so extended and how many services we're trying to provide with a very limited and finite resource of dollars to do it. We're running very important things. I can't think of anything more important than 911, the sheriff services, Comcare services for mental health, public health, the fire department, EMS, on and on and on. I think everything we do is critical to people's safety and quality of life. And I worry that we're overextended to some degree, and I think we're going to have to – I think what you'll see in the next year or two, not only in county government but in government discussions as a whole, is ways that we can do things better together, provide the needed services for people, but do it in a more efficient manner.
When you were a young person, you're a kid, what did you envision that you'd be doing for a living?
Not this.
Well.
No, I mean, I have a science background. I was going to go into the medical field, I got started in policing because I was interested in forensic science. And at the time, you had to be a commissioned police officer to do that kind of work. So there I went. And then I worked through government. I was in, the police department for a long time. And I'm also a big believer in unified and consolidated services of government because I think it's good for taxpayers and I think it's better for quality service. So when the opportunity came to manage the building department, which was a joint city and county department, I jumped at that and was privileged to do that for a few years. And here I end up where I'm at today.
Hey, thanks for being with us as always. Okay. Maybe we have coming back again in a few months.
All right, Steve.
All right, our guest is Sedgwick County Manager Tom Stoltz, and that's all for this edition of Issues 2025. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.